Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 8. But before I read that passage, I want to quote you two passages in the book of Isaiah. The first comes from chapter 7, and the second from chapters 36 and 7. The Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out now to meet Ahaz, you and Sheer-Jashub your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway of the fuller's field." The Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then the second bit from Isaiah is in chapter 36 and 7. "The king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. Then the angel of the Lord went up and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. So Luke chapter 2 verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" And then chapter 22, please. So this is Luke 22 and verse 41. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." This morning, I want to consider our Lord Jesus in connection with those two angelic visitations about which we have read. There are, of course, several other angelic appearances recorded in this Gospel, Luke's Gospel, but they occur either before our Lord's birth or after his death and resurrection. And we have read of the only two angelic visits during our Lord's life here on earth that Luke records, both of which, as you will have noted, took place at night. The first we read that an angel of the Lord paid a visit to a field in the region of Bethlehem to announce the birth of the Saviour, who then lay in a manger. And then we read that an angel paid a visit to the Garden of Gethsemane to strengthen our Lord during his conflict as he fell and lay on the ground. As we read, the first occasion was a time of great joy. Indeed, this angel's announcement brings to a climax a theme of rejoicing that had been running throughout the opening section of our Gospel. Chapter 1, you will read respectively of the joy of Zacharias, of Elizabeth, of her son John, that we know as the Baptist, and of Mary. But now in chapter 2, the angel declares to these shepherds mounting guard over their sheep, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy." A God once asked Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? And this angel in Bethlehem's field would have been among those angelic sons of God. But when he shouted for joy at the world's creation, little did he think or suspect that the day would come when the Lord, the King of Glory, when the very one who had laid the foundations of the earth would himself come down to the earth he had founded to lie in a manger in some mucky feeding trough. But if the angelic visitation of Luke 2 marked an occasion of the greatest joy, the angelic visitation of Luke 22 marked an occasion of the greatest sorrow, of a grief which beggars description, because we read that at that time Jesus began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, his disciples that is, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." Initially in Luke 1, there was only one angel. But as soon as that angel had delivered his momentous message, he was suddenly joined, we read, by a multitude of the heavenly army. Not come to do battle with anyone, but to sing an anthem of praise to God. Because the same wondrous birth which had earlier drawn Mary and Joseph from Nazareth in verse 4, and would soon draw shepherds from their flocks in verses 15 and 16, now drew a large troop of angels from the invisible world. And I have no problem with this angelic military choir coming there to ascribe glory to God in heaven above and to invoke peace on men on earth below. No, I have no problem with that. But surely, this multitude of the heavenly army were needed, if anything, not so much in Luke 2, but in Luke 22. Not in the field of Bethlehem, but in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yet, they could have come. And yet, they would have come if he, the Lord Jesus, had only asked. Remember his words to well-meaning Peter in that garden. "Do you think that I cannot ask, that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will provide me now with more than 12 legions of angels?" Single Roman legion comprised 6,000 men. So more than 12 legions of angels, over 72,000 angels, would certainly have formed a respectable multitude of the heavenly army. But no, the Lord Jesus would not ask the Father to assign them to him. As we read, the virgin birth, spoken of by Luke in chapters 1 and 2, had been foretold long before. Well over 700 years before, indeed, in Isaiah chapter 7. "The Lord will himself give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." And Isaiah is careful to tell us that this word of the Lord had been given to King Ahaz at the end of the conduit, the channel, a canal or possibly an aqueduct, of the upper pool on the highway of the fuller's field. It's an interesting detail. And this precise location features in only one other incident recorded in the Old Testament, and I read it to you from Isaiah chapter 36, where the Rabshakeh, the commander-in-chief of the Assyrian army, stood by the conduit of the upper pool on the highway of the fuller's field, and from where he sought to intimidate the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the days of Ahaz's son, one Hezekiah, to browbeat them into submission and surrender to Sennacherib, the great king of Assyria. But this Assyrian invasion and siege came to an abrupt end, when in the words of 2 Chronicles 32, the Lord sent an angel, yes, just one, who, we read, smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Psalm 103 says that angels excel in strength. If you have any reason to doubt that, you have only to ask Sennacherib. And if just one angel could do that, then what could over 72,000 do? I think it's safe to say that such a multitude of the heavenly army would have encountered no difficulty in dispatching the great multitude armed with swords and spades or cudgels who accompanied Judas into Gethsemane to arrest Jesus that dark night. But no. As the angel of Luke 2 said, our Lord had come as Saviour. And if he was to be that, he needed to go from Gethsemane to Golgotha. There could be no large-scale angelic invasion. Concerning the birth of our Lord, told to us in Luke 2, the writer to the Hebrews records that entering into the world, he, the Lord Jesus, says, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, detailed in Luke 22, when this resolve of his was tested to the extreme, he responded with those so well-known words, not my will, but your will be done. By the which will, the writer to the Hebrews says, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And so this morning, as we take the bread and drink from the cup, we remember and we celebrate our Lord's wonderful submission, his wonderful devotion to God, and his matchless grace to you and me. One angel followed by many in Luke 2. Just one angel in Luke 22. He would not pass.